Welcome into a Saturday edition of the Locked On Bengals podcast. I'm James Rapine. Great to have you in. A lot to get to. And I mean a lot. There's a reason I'm doing a Saturday podcast. It's because I got all this good info and insight from experts, and I want to get it to you. I'm James Rapine. If you are new to the podcast, great to be with you. We give you your daily Bengals fix, usually Monday through Friday. And I cover the Bengals for ESPN 1530, 700 WLW in Cincinnati. And let's dive right into it. By the way, you can subscribe on Google Play, iTunes, the iHeartRadio app, Stitcher, and right now, all of them. Basically, anywhere you get your podcast, you can get Locked On Bengals, including LockedOnBengals.com, where right now, two things are up. And these are two interesting pieces. One, you guys are probably familiar by now of Solomon Tettman's prospect spotlights. And he looks at Georgia guard Isaiah Wynn. And I got to tell you, I read that. I think you should read it. If you're into the draft, check it out. Because, well, the Bengals traded back to 21. And I think Isaiah Wynn should be on your radar. Check out why Solomon Tettman loves him. I think you'll love him. And the Bengals might be able to turn their weakness at the offensive line into a strength if they consider Isaiah Wynn with the 21st pick. Solomon Tettman loves him. Check it out. LockedOnBengals.com. Another thing, my guy Joel Chandler writes, and he talked with an injury expert, because, and it's interesting, I was talking and thinking about this, John Ross, injury issues, Tyler Eifert, injury issues, Cordy Glenn, injury issues. The Bengals are going all in on some of these guys. I mean, ninth overall pick, extension, obviously, re-sign Eifert to a one-year deal, trade for a guy like Cordy Glenn, who's had ankle-foot issues. And he caught up with an injury expert to talk about each injury, essentially each player in their injury history, what she expects from them. She's very familiar. She's a Bengals fan. It's really, really good stuff. And it's at LockedOnBengals.com. It's our featured story right now. I tweeted it out at LockedOnBengals at James Rapine. Really, really worth your time. And I can't mention it enough. I was reading it. I was like, damn, this is interesting. This is good stuff. And it's something I think a lot of fans concerned about those guys, worth the 10-minute read or 5-minute read, whatever it would be, depending on how fast you read. Either way, thank you so much for tuning in today on a Saturday. Heck, it might be Monday morning. You're driving into work. Normally, we don't have a podcast really for you Monday morning. So thank you so much for doing that and listening. A lot on this podcast. A lot. You're going to hear parts of my conversation with Dan Hoard and Joe Goodberry and Dave Lapham. And Dave Lapham, I caught up with him Friday evening, close to the evening, and I want you to hear that. Let's start with Lap, because I talk with Lap about a bunch of different things, and I started naturally with Vontaze Burfict and Vontaze Burfict's suspension, pending suspension, with the PEDs, and you can read about that. I obviously reacted to that yesterday on Friday's podcast. But here's my conversation with Dave Lapham. I appreciate you coming on, man. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, James?
Good. It's good to hear your voice. I haven't talked to you in a while. And I was thinking that today when I texted you and asked you to come on, it was going to be all roses. It was going to be all great stuff and how I loved the Bengals offseason and what they had done so far. And I still do. But this looming thing with Vontaze Burfict in the potential 4-game suspension, that certainly hurts things.
Yeah, it does. First, there were rumors about him being traded to Oakland to be reunited with Paul Gunther. They came out of Birmingham, Alabama, of all places. And from what I can determine, there wasn't much tooth to that type of report. Not much you could sink your teeth into. And then now this 4-game suspension that he's appealing, you know, it's interesting. The prescription medication he says he was taking, you know, to combat the concussion that he had against the Steelers, and he messed his shoulder up against the Lions. You know, if that was a prescribed medication, players obviously have to be aware of what they're putting in their bodies, and they have to know what is legal and not with respect to the National Football League drug screening. So are the doctors, I would imagine. So, I mean, if that is, in fact, what tested positive for Vontaze Burfict as a performance-enhancing drug, somebody dropped the ball. You know, I guess the final, as a player, you know, you have to take accountability, responsibility for it. You have to know everything that's going in your body. But if it was something that was prescribed medically, you know, by the medical people. Man, as a player, I would think he's probably thinking, what the hell?
Yeah.
who's letting me down here? So I guess it all still has to unfold. He's appealing it, and it's going to be soon to be determined, but it would be interesting. I'll tell you what, they'd have a couple of good-sized linebackers, Preston Brown at the Mike position and Vontaze Burfict at the will. You'd have two guys over 250 pounds, you know, probably closer to 260 each of them. They can run around a little bit and make plays, so it would have been a pretty good tag team, and it, you know, it still will be for 12 games, but hopefully for all 16.
And Dave, that's the interesting part about this to me is obviously the Bengals are used to playing without Vontaze Burfict. They could do that for a couple games. But he just signed a contract extension, and this could cost him, according to Ian Rapoport of NFL Network, if this does come back and he does lose the appeal to the NFL and is suspended, he could lose the $11-plus million guaranteed in that contract extension he signed just last season.
Yeah, I mean, you look at his fine and suspension total could basically eliminate any deficit that a small country might have, you know?
I know.
And now you add this to it potentially. My gosh, I mean, giving back millions to the National Football League in terms of being fined and suspended, this one would be a huge, huge kick in the gut for sure. We'll see how it unfolds. See what they're saying the performance enhancing substance was, and how he got it into his system, and everything that goes along with it. But like I said, if it was something that was medically prescribed to him, that one's tough. I mean, if you go into a GNC or something and buy something off the shelf, you have to look at all the components that are in that thing, and you have to know, you know, what you can and can't put in your body. You have to be smart enough as a player to know that because of this reason. And if guys say, you know, all I did was take that supplement, I didn't know. Well, you got to know. You have to be smart enough to look at what the contents are. This is a different dynamic. This isn't going off the shelf of GNC or some supplement store and buying stuff to enhance, you know, your workouts and that type of thing. If this was the medication they was taking to combat, you know, problems with the concussion in the shoulder and that sort of thing, and he tested positive as a result, that'd be a tough pill to swallow if you were a player.
Yeah, exactly, because you trust the doctors. I mean, if you can't trust them, then who can you trust? That would be
right.
Yeah, I hope that it isn't the case and he can get cleared just for his sake as far as the money in his pocketbook goes. I was hoping he'd finally be able to turn a corner. Dave Lapham is our guest. I'm James Rapine in for Mo today on ESPN 1530. Dave, you mentioned Preston Brown, and he's the local product out of Northwest, was drafted out of Louisville by the Buffalo Bills in the third round. And heck, he's coming off of a couple years, 139 tackles 2 years ago for the Bills. Last year, 144 tackles. Signs a one-year deal here with the Bengals. That news broke earlier today. I like this signing.
I do, too. I do. I mean, I think, obviously, this is where he wanted to be. He's a hometown kid, wanted to come and play here. You know, and like you said, he's a tackling machine. He and Vontaze Burfict are both NFL, not just team tackling leaders, NFL tackling champions. And I always have a problem with it because it's all subjective and each coaching staff, some coaches will give you an assist on a tackle if you're within 5 yards in the sniffing range of, you know, the ball carrier falling down, trying to get their tackle numbers up for players to make Pro Bowls, that kind of thing. I mean, it all can be subjective. Whereas other places, you know, they don't give you an assist unless you basically were part of the reason that the guy hit the ground. And other teams will give you an unassisted tackle for that play. So, I mean, there are different definitions of what tackles are. But if you put tape on, bottom line, you put tape on, you watch Preston Brown, that dude is running to the football, and good things happen when you run to the football. You know, you're either involved in plays or, you know, you can be there to pick up the football if it's knocked loose, or you can knock it loose for somebody else. Running to the football is a clear-cut key to success, road to success, and this kid does that. He's involved in a ton of plays. He makes, you know, he diagnoses well, and he doesn't have a whole lot of false steps, and he gets there, and he gets there with some thump, just like Vontaze does.
What would you say, and obviously I'm not going to act like I've watched a ton of Preston Brown. I've obviously seen him when the Bengals played the Bills here and there, but overall, it seems like this is a theme for the Bengals. They go after the one-year linebacker. They did it with Kevin Minner last year. They've done it in the past with older players. Is Preston Brown a different skill set than maybe Kevin Minner last year or some of these other linebackers they've brought in?
He's much bigger. You know, the thing about both of the players they brought in from Buffalo, Cordy Glenn and this guy, their size, speed, you know, or size, quickness, size, speed, those ratios are crazy. Plus, they're both in the prime. I mean, Preston Brown's, what, 26 years old? I think he turns here shortly.
Yep.
Or he just turned 26 years old, and Cordy Glenn is like 29 years old. These guys are in their prime. You know, for an offensive lineman, 29 is far from aged, you know, and for a linebacker, 25, 26 years old is far from age. So if you can get guys, you know, in the prime of their career, and they've shown that they, you know, they belong, so to speak. I mean, and both have played at a very, very high level. And I think it's two darn good signings for, you know, for each side of the football.
Dave Lapham is with us talking Bengals football, and you mentioned Cordy Glenn, and I'm into the draft. I try to pay attention to the draft. Is it safe to say that the Bengals looked at the 12th pick in this group of offensive linemen and didn't think there would be a left tackle at the 12th pick that could do, even had the potential to be what Cordy Glenn is and has proven to be in 2018?
Yeah, I'm not sure they felt that there was a tackle at any pick in this year's draft, it would be what Cordy Glenn has shown he can be in the National Football League. You know, I know they were very high on Cordy Glenn coming out of Georgia. They had him on their board as a late one, early two, and he went in the second round to the Buffalo Bills. So, you know, they felt you know, very, very good about his abilities. He's got long arms. He's got really good feet. Well, so does another guy, Cedric Oboye. He's long arms, really good feet. There's two A's, and for quarterbacks. Quarterbacks is throwing with anticipation and accuracy. For offensive linemen, it's athleticism and anchor ability. And so far, Cedric Oboye, he has not shown that he has the anchor ability to go with the athleticism. Cordy Glenn has shown that he has the anchor ability with the big body that he has. You know, much bigger frame than Cedric, or much more on the frame, I should say, than Cedric Oboye. You know, Ced's 310, Cordy Glenn's 340, 350. He has more anchor ability. Bull rushes don't destroy him like Cedric's been destroyed by bull rushes. So, you know, straight-A quarterbacks, anticipation, actually straight-A tackles or linemen in general, athleticism and anchor ability. You have to have both. You can't just have one.
Yeah, I agree completely, and I'm glad that they were able to swing a deal. Is that something that you saw? Because to me, and I know the Bengals have made some trades recently, but it was refreshing to see them kind of look at the draft, evaluate it, and maybe that was one of the changes that Marvin was talking about when he announced his return in that press conference, was evaluating the draft, evaluating the free agent pool. I look at a guy like Nate Solder, the left tackle who just signed with the Giants, 4 years, $62 million. He's older than Cordy Glenn. He doesn't have the injury history that Glenn had last year, but I think when Glenn's healthy, he's better than Nate Solder.
Yeah, I think that obviously, that's the one thing that you had to make sure of as best you possibly could as an organization is the injury factor that you mentioned. When you have ankle or foot problems and you're a big body guy like that, if you're ever cracking the foundation, the rest of the building's in trouble. So, you know, I mean, you look over the years in any sport. Ogden never played after Ohio State because of his foot injuries, ankle problems, knee injuries. The same thing, you know, ended Bill Walton's career. And it happens to National Football League players as well. If you're a big guy and you have a crack in that foundation, the closer to the ground, the more gravity is the factor, the more pressure there is. I mean, you know, if a hip injury, knee injury, get to the foot and ankle, the closer to the ground when you're trying to support that entire structure on your foot and your ankle, if you have issues there, it can end your career. I mean, Jack Lambert was never hurt. Jack Lambert had basically a severe case of turf toe where he had tendon and ligament problems attaching to the ball. His foot never played again. So, I mean, it's serious when you're talking about those type of injuries. You have to make sure that you feel like they're not going to be some sort of a recurring problem. And they, I think, obviously, with the physical and everything, and they made a determination that Cordy Glenn's aren't that type of injury, and that he'll be able to come back from it and function properly. And I'll tell you, if they get him at 100% health, I agree with you. The kid, he'll throw people around. I mean, he's powerful. He's nasty. He can shut down pass rushers, outstanding pass rushers one-on-one. And he's really a good player. There's no question about it.
Dave Lapham joining us. I'm James Erpine. This is ESPN 1530. Dave, they re-signed Tyler Eifert yesterday to a one-year contract. I really hope they got a deal done with him. I look at the offense and how it's been over the past 2 years, and I thought letting a talent like Tyler Eifert just walk away, go to another team, it was risky, and I get it. He's had a lot of injuries. He's missed 41 out of a potential 80 regular season games. But Tyler Eifert here, I think it's a really good move by the team. What did you think about them keeping Eifert around?
Yeah, I think for a year, obviously the market basically dictated that everybody was feeling about Tyler Eifert the same way the Cincinnati Bengals and a lot of the fans were. Love to have him, supreme talent, just can't pay him, can't give him. I mean, he watched tight ends that probably don't have the ability that he has, the athleticism that he has, get long-term, big-dollar deals. Obviously, he didn't fall into that category. And the whole league made the declaration. Now, the Rams and the 49ers went after him on these one-year packs. You better believe Andrew Whitworth had something to say to the Rams coaching staff and front office about Tyler Eifert. Heck, he put Tyler Eifert up. Tyler Eifert stayed with Andrew Whitworth and his family, the first couple of years of his career as he was getting settled into Cincinnati. I mean, they're fast friends as well as knowing what kind of a player Tyler Eifert is. So, the fact is that he showed the loyalty that we were hoping he would to the Cincinnati Bengals. They matched the type of dollars they were talking about in a minimum, $5 million that could escalate up to over $8 million based on incentivized the deal, which is what everybody thought, a one-year show-me deal. And I'm glad it's here in Cincinnati because he and Andy Dalton, they can make magic together, James. We've seen it. There's no question about it. And Tyler Eifert's good for a touchdown catch every 6 receptions. I think he's got 126 catches and 20 touchdowns. So that's touchdown makers are hard to find. And having the 13 touchdowns in that one season, he was threatening to lead the league, not just tight ends and touchdowns. He was threatening to lead the league. I think there were a couple of wideouts that ended up with 15 that year, but he had 13, and I think 11 of the 13 were in the red zone. So we all know what he is in the red zone. He's a scoring machine in the red zone. So I just hope that the football gods decide this is the year that he can play in 16 games and stay healthy and see what kind of numbers he can put up because he deserves it. I mean, obviously he has not been able to complete any season. I mean, playing less than half the games that you were slated to play is not going to cut it in the National Football League. Availability is one of the biggest abilities you can have. And unfortunately, it hasn't been that way for him.
Yeah, hopefully it can be moving forward. Last question for you, Dave, and you've been great with your time. I appreciate it. As far as the rest of this offseason goes, obviously free agency still going on. The Bengals, I do know that there's some veterans. They've moved on from Adam Jones. Do you think that they have a couple more moves up their sleeve? Is there anything that you think could be pending, whether it's moving on from a veteran or going after another free agent or anything like that?
That's an interesting question. I mean, they've basically, by re-signing Kevin Huber, helped determine field position. And he's been the big factor in that. They wanted to make sure that he stayed in Cincinnati. They've helped the offensive line. They've helped the linebacker position. They've helped the, scoring with the tight end. That's a very dynamic playmaker, when healthy. I guess the biggest question is, what are they going to do with Russell Bodine? I mean, is there any money left for Russell Bodine, or do they – obviously, nobody is they're not knocking his door down. There are not all kinds of offers out there for Russell Bodine. You haven't heard about him making a whole lot of visits here, there, and everywhere. So depending on what his market is, will they re-sign him? Because there's not that big of a market out there. It doesn't seem like the cost is being driven up too high. Or they decide to let him move on somewhere, no matter what the dollar amount is in the contract. And with that 21st pick, take a center. Daniels from Iowa, or I would take Price from Ohio State. I think Daniels is a little small. I mean, he's been coached well. The head coach up there is a former offensive line coach in the National Football League. A lot of really good offensive linemen come out of Iowa. A lot of really good offensive linemen come out of Ohio State. Price had the pectoral problem, in the bench press there. But things I hear about him, he's another wit. I mean, he was basically the voice of Ohio State. I mean, the media went to him whenever they wanted a reasoned out comment, somebody that, you know, had a brain to deal with. And I saw on, I think it was on the Big Ten Network, I saw a video of, they had the huddle mic'd up for Ohio State's offense, and Barrett and Price were running the show. I mean, they were the only voices you heard. So, I mean, if you draft a guy like Price at 21, is that too high? Might be. But if you could draft a center in the, you know, toward the bottom end of the first round, and he's a plug and play guy for 10 or 12 years, I mean, how's that a bad pick? So, I don't know. I mean, depending on what other prospects are there, maybe if you feel like you can get another center that's close to that caliber of player later on, or do you sign Russell Bonner? I think that's the last one that's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out, in my mind, James.
Yeah, that makes sense. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I'm with you, by the way. I think even with Bodine, whether or not they resign him, I think day one or day two, a center would be great for this offense. So let's hope that happens. He's Dave Lapham. Dave, I appreciate the time. It's good to chat with you. It's been a little while, and I'm sure I'll be knocking your door down for draft season here shortly.
You're the man, James. Listening to you all the time. You're doing a great job.
I thought that was good stuff. Really interesting on Billy Price and James Daniels. And I like both players. I know Joe Goodberry likes both players. I think Billy Price is going to drop to like the 40th pick. Might not be there at 46. I think he drops late first round, probably day two, gone by the first 10, 12 picks. Will the Bengals be able to get him in round two? Maybe. Could they trade back at the end of round one? I could see that as well. So it'll be interesting. No doubt in my mind, though, James Daniels, a guy who Lap worries about his size, but he's an athletic freak, or Billy Price. And anytime Dave Lapham mentions a name, you note that one down. And the fact that he mentioned Billy Price, I think it's worth noting down. I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. You're going to hear my conversation with Jim Ossarski in just a second. By the way, I appreciate you guys for tuning in. By the way, the Bengals have signed Matt Barkley to a 2-year contract. He's going to back up Andy Dalton, of course. And I get that. And you heard Jeff Hobson on this podcast a couple weeks ago saying that was probably going to be likely. They sign a veteran and draft one. I still think they draft one. They're not going to say, oh, we have Matt Barkley, we're not going to draft one. Now, will they reach for a quarterback? No. But odds are I expect a mid-round to late quarterback prospect to be drafted by the Bengals in April's draft. So we'll see if that happens. I hope it happens. Thank you so much for joining us on the Locked On Bengals podcast. My conversation with Jim Ossarski still ahead, and Dan Hoard, he's excited about Tyler Eifert's return. You'll hear Dan's comments next on the Locked On Bengals podcast. Great to have you in on a special edition of the Locked On Bengals podcast. I was a fan of the Tyler Eifert signing, and guess who else was? Dan Hoard. Here's Dan. I caught up with him to talk. He's the voice of the UC Bearcats, so we talked mostly NCAA tournament. But here's the tidbit. It's about 2 minutes long. Me, Dan Hoard, the voice of your Cincinnati Bengals, discussing them re-signing Tyler Eifert.
Hey, it just continues what's been a great couple of weeks for the Bengals.
Yeah.
Cordy Glenn, the decision with Adam Jones, Chris Baker to a lesser extent. I'm really excited about this offseason so far, and let's hope it continues.
I completely agree. I didn't see the Cordy Glenn trade coming. I was hoping. I knew he could potentially be on the block, and the fact that all they did was move back 9 spots to get him, I love the deal.
Yeah, and moved up later in the draft, getting a fifth for a sixth, basically. I thought it was a great deal. Gives them a little more flexibility probably in the first round. They're not locked into really looking for the best tackle available. They can now stick to what they've been doing in recent years and take the best player available. I'll be honest, I really was starting to think that Tyler Eifert would not re-sign with Cincinnati. He's so close to Andrew Whitworth that I just had this sinking feeling in my stomach that Whit was going to convince him to sign with the Rams, go out to Hollywood, enjoy the warm weather. You're a good-looking guy. You'll get some endorsements. I think it's a great move by the Bengals. And, you know, now let's hope he stays healthy and earns a huge extension after catching double-digit touchdowns this year.
Yeah, I hope so. What's crazy, Dan, I saw a stat today. Over the past 3 seasons, he has he's tied for the 3rd most red zone touchdowns with 16, and he's only played in 23 of 48 games. It's just, it's
well,
insane, the production.
13 in one of those seasons.
Yeah.
But let's face it, we know what he's capable of doing when he's healthy. And couple that with the guys that they have coming back that I thought actually played pretty well last year in Tyler Eifert's absence. Tyler Croft in particular, maybe that'll be a highly productive position.
I agree. I loved it. Dan Hoard, I told you it was just a couple minutes here. Let's get to one more here on the Locked On Bengals podcast. I'm trying to give you all the insight, partially because who knows what'll change by Monday. Hell, I was ready to celebrate the whole Preston Brown thing, and then Vontaze Burfict threw a wrench in the plans with that. So, but I caught up with Jim Ossarski, and this is interesting because I wondered about the future of Vontaze Burfict yesterday because of what Ian Rapoport threw out there, and Jim kind of debunked it. Here's Jim Ossarski of Cincinnati.com. Now we have this Vontaze Burfict cloud and a pending 4-game suspension hanging over the organization, hanging over the fan base. It sucks.
So the immediacy of it and sort of the obviously the unexpected nature of it. I mean, people here in Cincinnati know this better than anyone else nationally. Vontaze Burfict's issues, if you want to call them that, were always between the stripes. I mean, whatever his suspensions and fines is all related to football, right? And whether or not he could play within the rules the league wants him to play within. This is the first time anything off the field has popped up for Vontaze Burfict. Now, I know nationally, and everyone knows this, it's one and the same, I guess. So it's surprising in that regard, James, at least to me. He's going to appeal. We did some research going back to 2014. Only two players have successfully appealed a drug or PED suspension. The last one being Dwayne Brown saying he ate some bad meat in Mexico a few years ago. So it doesn't look good for Vontaze Burfict. But again, James, this guy, he's missed 3 games. To start 17, he's missed 3 games to start 16 with suspensions. He's missed more games than that due to injury. I guess if you were to say Vontaze Burfict's going to play 12 games, you probably would say that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, you're right. But here's the thing in the other side of it to me. It's not necessarily missing the games, and obviously he's had his fair share of injuries as well, along with suspensions. It's the how it affects his contract, because I think, and based on what Ian Rapoport said of NFL Network, it looks like the guaranteed money becomes void. That $11.3 million on a contract he just signed, does that truly become void if the suspension is exactly that, and he doesn't lose loses the appeal?
No, we just updated our story at Cincinnati.com, James. I think Ian is a little off. We have several league sources, both with the organization and independently, who know the contract. That's not accurate. We reported this when Vontaze Burfict signed his extension last year, James. The club took very little risk a year ago. They paid out $3.3 million signing bonus in 2017, and a lot of this money was due. He was paid a lot of this last year. The only guaranteed money, I guess, that's on the line for Vontaze is if the team decides to release him before March 31st, so in a few weeks. So if they do that, they're totally off the hook, and maybe that's what Ian is referencing, but there's no voiding, there's no language that says if he's suspended for any reason, there's voiding of contracts. That's just not how it works. So yes, technically, if they cut him, they cut him, but that's like any other player, James, to be honest. I mean, there's no provisions. There's nothing that says specifically if a suspension happens, the Bengals can get out of anything. It's just that all of Vontaze Burfict's guaranteed money, if you will, comes from him playing. He has to be on the 46-man active game day roster to get paid. It's up to $2.25 million, the most allowed by the CBA. He has to be available to be paid. And we wrote that last year. And that was the thing that the Bengals, that's how they protected themselves. Because, again, a year ago, he had already been suspended 6 games and had missed games with shoulders and concussions and all those things. So, maybe if you think the team is going to release him in a few weeks, there's concern. But honestly, James, I mean, there's nothing in this organization's background that would make me think they're about to do that a year after giving him $33 million.
That's interesting. Jim Ossarski, Cincinnati.com, joining us. So if that's the case, it feels like that suspension, no suspension, it's not really going to determine much as far as Vontaze Burfict's future with the Bengals, because the way Ian put it, and then mix that with the rumblings, which we've talked about, and it seems like they're inaccurate, and you and Schefter and a bunch of people have talked about how inaccurate they were, but it doesn't seem like the Bengals are going to trade him, and if it doesn't really affect his contract, it sounds like regardless of the suspension, you expect Vontaze Burfict to be in stripes next year.
I do. And look, I mean, you know, anything can change. I think there's only like three guys on the Bengals to me that this team is not going to trade or get rid of. I mean, so you always kind of have to say that. Like, there are no absolutes, but I don't see why would their feeling about this be any different than last year, than a year ago? What's changed? Yeah, I'm sure it's disappointing. The first time we get the chance to talk to Marvin Lewis, I'm sure he'll say how disappointed he is, and there needs to be responsibility about it, says he needs to be on the field. I mean, but again, when the guy is on the field, it's like the Tyler Eifert thing. He's one of the best players in the league at his position. The Bengals are better and can win a Super Bowl in 2018 if Vontaze Burfict is healthy and playing, right? So I don't see how moving him helps them win a Super Bowl in 2018. Could he be? I mean, anybody could be traded. James, I guess you could be traded down the dial, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Or released.
Right. And in regards to the trade rumor, look, I talked about, you know, people that I trust from California to Cincinnati, and to me, you know, no one said anything that made those rumors. I don't even want to call it a rumor, James, in terms of. Could there have been a conversation somewhere in Indianapolis? Sure, they're there for a week talking football. You know what I mean? If those conversations that are had all came to light, I think every player in the league is traded. I think didn't John Lynch say he asked Bill Belichick if he would trade Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Before settling on Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, it's just one of those things, James, where it's all coming to a head. It's all here in these last 48 hours or so, which is understandable. But I think once the dust settles, I do believe Vontaze Burfict will be playing linebacker for the Bengals in whatever week it is when the suspension is over.
Jim Ossarski of the Enquirer is our guest. He's on Twitter at Jim Ossarski. Jim, let's look at the future here. I'm going to ask you just about that, because it seems like the Bengals are making moves. Obviously, they signed Preston Brown today, Tyler Eifert yesterday. Looking at Russell Bodine still out there in free agency, is he the next domino to fall? Is there a next domino, maybe an outside free agent? What's the status of kind of the Bengals in the next move they could potentially make?
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, before this tampering period, you would kind of get signings late in March, right? Like these kind of one-year, I mean, think Brandon LaFell, think Carlos Dansby, if you want to talk about specifically in town. Those guys were late March, one-year veteran signings, guys who just, you know, eventually had to find a team to the prove-it deal, if you will. I think that's happening sooner for guys. I don't think the team might have to wait till the end of March. So there could be some veterans that pop up on the radar that can be had. At what dollar amount, I don't know. But in regards to Russell Bodine, that's an interesting one, James, because clearly Marvin Lewis wanted him back, you know, dating back to the Senior Bowl. But here we are, you know, speaking late in the week. There's been – I know teams have been interested in Russell Bodine, but clearly not to the degree that he – is signed or going to be the anchor of an offensive line somewhere else, right? I mean, other centers have been signed, and now Baltimore's Ryan Jensen is getting wined and dined from Tampa to Indy. Mike Pouncey has been released and is available out there. So there's still centers available. I don't know. I guess I could see Russell Bodine coming back, but it might not be for the years and dollars everyone expected in January, right? Mm-hmm. So, what that is, I don't know. But I think as time goes on, all of this only benefits the club because there's less money out there, there's less player or fewer players. And if Russell Bodine's back, it could just be a situation that really the Bengals feel good about. And maybe that's 1 year, 2 years. I mean, I think the 5 year, $40 million or whatever, I think that's, at least here in Cincinnati, has gone away, if that ever even was an option.
If that was an option, man, if that happened, I'd pass out. I'm not going.
Well, I think, put it this way, if it was a real thing, I think it would have been signed already.
Yeah.
It's more of an example. I think if the Bengals want him back, it clearly was not at the length and dollars Russell has been looking for. But now, as time goes on, you know, the leverage now swings to the teams.
Do you think they would look, and last thing here, do you think they would look at any a veteran center or a veteran right tackle? Obviously, they signed Bobby Hart. Our veteran guard, is that still on the play on the table at least? I know that they'll probably not spend big money on one, but do you think that's an option?
James, I think anything is an option, especially on the offensive line. And when you have to get to 90 players, mm-hmm. Well, contracts can be structured any way a team wants. I mean, you know, the only thing they owe a guy is a signing bonus, and you sign a guy in March or April, and he's gone by July. You know, what are you really out? So, no, you're right. I do. I think any player the Bengals feel, you know, in their scouting could help, that's out there, I think they're going to inquire. Mike Brown made it clear in January this was a priority for him and the team. I think the Cordy Glenn deal, I mean, only proves that. And now going forward, it's just what's their best option? And let's not forget the draft. Let's not think they won't take a tackle if one's available, in their spot. So I think that's also, you know, something we could be seeing in late April.
That's good stuff there, Jim Osarski. We were loaded in this podcast. That's why I had all this stuff, all these conversations just sitting there. I was on ESPN 1530 yesterday, and I had them on Thursday, Friday, and I'm like, you know what? I got to get this out there to the people. I got to do it. That's why we have a Saturday edition of the Locked On Bengals podcast. I still didn't get to fit in my conversation with Joe Goodberry. Probably get that in Monday, along with some other stuff, as we are kind of waiting for the next move to fall. The latest thing that happened today, the Bengals signed Matt Barkley, who's played for a bunch of teams, honestly. The San Francisco 49ers, the Eagles, a couple others, to a 2-year contract to be the backup quarterback, potentially. And this is expected. I wouldn't fret, Bengals fans. I still think that this gives them a chance. And again, a chance to draft someone, a quarterback. I just don't know where. It might not be at 21 or 46 or, you know, in round 3 like I hope, even though they have 2 picks in round 3. The earlier the better in my mind. I'm James Rapine. Thank you so much for listening to this. Make sure you go to LockedOnBengals.com. Check out Joel Chandler's interview with an injury expert on Eifert, Cordy Glenn, John Ross, and their prognosis and what she thinks is going to happen in their future. Plus, Solomon Tettman's Prospect Spotlight, every single podcast posted at LockedOnBengals.com. Thank you so much for listening, and until Monday, I'm James Rapine. This has been the Locked On Bengals podcast.